Just can't wait to get on the road.
We catch up with Grumpy on a Friday. He is the master of little bits and pieces and travel trivia. That's what we do. Steve Grumpy Collins. Have a look at the website, stevecollinstraveller.com.au. Grumpy, good morning.
Good morning, and happy 32nd birthday to you again, Tony.
Yeah, I wish a little more than that, but it was. And I'm humbled by, it's interesting, because of the online presence now, that
yes.
people send messages from around Australia, around the world, many yep. of whom have you've not spoken to for months and months and months, sometimes even longer, but it's lovely to get that little message. And having said that, I think to myself, well, Tone, you actually do that too. You send little messages of love and affection to people as well. But it's just, it's sometimes a bit humbling when you're inundated with messages.
Yes. Yes, I only get emails with love and affection.
So no, that's not at all true. Having said that, you've had another spell in hospital.
It wasn't in hospital. This is important. I had a skin cancer removed from my forehead. What I found out this week when all the stitches were taken out, there were 12 stitches in it, and I was sort of drugged up to the hilt, if you can understand that. So I thought it was going to be a very minor operation, but they've got rid of it. There's no sign anymore, and so please, if you've got any doubts, you know, go and get yourself checked out, because you certainly do not be wanting to walk around with any sort of cancer, but particularly skin cancers, which, of course, Australians are the people that get the most amount of skin cancers in the world. So you need to look after yourself.
And you get in the pool, you get on the beach during the yep. summer months, and still people just whack on a little bit of oil or whatever on their body, and yep. they seem to disregard all the warnings that you and I have been talking about for decades.
Well, yeah, but I remember when I was a teenager, the thing
we
was...
We did the
you
same,
had to get,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, coconut oil, that's what you had to put on, and probably one of the worst things you could put on. I think that's why our generation's got a few skin cancers, Tony.
Well, I had part of the birthday celebration was with two dear friends last
yep.
Friday night.
Yep.
And so it seems a lot longer, but it was only last week. And we were talking about that at 2-3 o'clock in the morning as part of the aforementioned birthday get-together. Mm. And we reflected on, there were girls of that age, that vintage, 16, 17, 18,
yep.
Down on the Mornington Peninsula, yep. who would slather their arms and legs in oil.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, they did. And, of course, they had interesting tans. I mean, their bodies were tanned all over, and certain parts were very, very white, Tony. if you were lucky enough to see
what?
Those parts.
What's he talking about?
you think?
I'm back. What?
Yes.
You're
talking, very interesting.
You're talking about the bra strap line.
Yes. It was always, yes, you could always tell if they'd be wearing a bikini or not. Yeah, especially when they're in civvies and you've got all the, you've got this big white bit all over their shoulders. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. 133693. Now, here's the topic. And if we don't get any calls, this is the last time we're doing the segment.
Okay.
So the and it is a really good one, I reckon, because most people at some point would have either had a favourite and or least favourite flight and airline experience.
Well, can you have a worst favourite? You can have the least favourite.
Yeah, least favourite.
Yep.
So what would that constitute? What would be the characteristics of a great flight or a great time as opposed to one that didn't go quite so well? The delays are somewhat inevitable, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'm not talking about... I mean, the delays are caused by a variety of reasons, least of all, usually, the airline, because airlines get particular slots at airports, and they want to get there on time and they want to leave on time, because otherwise it just mucks up the schedule for the airline. So it's very rare that a airline is at fault if there is a delay of the flight, unless... there's something particularly wrong with the plane or something like that. But usually delays are caused by other things, mainly weather in some cases, because if you get a storm or whatever, you know, they shut down the airports. I mean, it's annoying, but it's usually not the airline's fault if there is a delay. But apart from that, flying is so common these days. We take it for granted. And really, we never used to take it for granted. In fact, it was really only up until the 747 jumbo jets started flying that flying became affordable for many more people.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it used to be, if you went to England, for instance, which was very, very common in the 50s, 60s and 70s, you would have to go over on a ship and it was 6 weeks. But the jumbo jet, the 747, allowed us, because of the size of them and the number of passengers they could take and the amount of fuel that they used in order to travel those big distances, and the fact that they could fly longer, which means that it used to be that if you flew, say, from Melbourne to London, there'd be 3 or 4 stops on the way. Well, that cut it down effectively to 2 or 3, like, which means that, yeah, it was quicker to get there. And it was more affordable than ever before because they could afford to discount seats. Mm. Although all of the airlines in those days, every country had regulations that the airlines had to follow, mm, whereas now with deregulation, I think to a certain extent it's ruined flying. Because I just don't think you get the same level of service that you used to.
Well, we'll come back and talk about that in just a moment. Plenty of room on the board. You'll get through straight away. Your favourite experience and or least favourite time that you've had when you've been flying. 133-693. Come and have a bit of fun with us. If you've got nothing, just make something up. 133-693 for Australia Overnight. You've just had a bad case of premature throwback. Darren and Glen Waverley, say hello to Grumpy Collins. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good up, Rob. How you going?
Good.
You were saying whereabouts on the Mornington Peninsula were you?
Sorry, Darren, I missed the context of that. We're on the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah, didn't you say you lived down the peninsula?
No, don't think so.
You were talking about the girls going to the beach.
Oh, that's right. We were. I beg your pardon. We were. So during the summer months when people flood to the beaches, Darren, around the Mornington Peninsula, in those days it was down at Sorrento when we were a lot younger.
Sorrento, yeah. I was up Mount Martha.
Which is not that far. It's gorgeous, Mount Martha.
Yeah, not too far away. Closer to Mornington. Yeah.
Yeah, around that area, Mornington, it's just that whole area has just transformed itself over the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, I was down there for about 20 years as a young kid. And I've still got newspaper clippings from when I got lost out at sea in a little 14-foot aluminium boat.
Ooh, how did that happen? Were you just by yourself on the boat?
No, me and a friend. We were both 14 years of age.
And that was off, just off where?
Mount Martha.
Mount Martha.
Yeah. And we were halfway to St. Leonard's coming to through the Heads.
Not a great thing to do in a very small boat, Darren. You know that now.
Yeah, now we actually got picked up by our aeroplane spotted us. And then the Toyota Fuji number 2 was going back to Japan to pick up more cars. This is about 74 or something like that. Yeah. I don't know, something like that. And, they found us out in the middle of the ocean.
Wow. I mean, wow, that's a good story. I could have probably waved to you from those days at the Portsea Hotel, Darren. Well, all's well that ends well. Good on you. Thank you for sharing that story. I mean, it's not probably what we were talking about in the sense that, but it's not a great experience, I wouldn't have thought. But 14, 15, 16, we all did a few silly things, old son.
Yes, we did. Yes, that was the age. Was it? You don't have much common sense when you sort of from about 15 to 18, do you really, when you're a teenager?
Well, yeah. And look, I often think to myself I was dull. I mean, I'm still dull, as you well know. And so, but really dull as a 15, 16-year-old. Didn't drink. Many of the other blokes did, and kids and girls would be drinking at 16 and 17. Never really appealed to me. Plus, I think I've mentioned this before, I took the pledge to not drink, and that way I knew that I was guaranteed that I could have access to mum's car once I turned 18. So I stuck by that. It was great. Fantastic. So I was 18.3 days and driving around a beautiful Rover. I was pretty happy with life.
Well, I got my license on my 17th birthday because I was in Sydney, and I got full use of my auntie's EJ on the condition that I drive her wherever she wanted to go. And I can assure you that every time she wanted to go somewhere, I would drive her in her EJ because I had full use of it otherwise.
Love it. Driving Miss Daisy.
Yep. Yep.
Christmas Daisy, Christmas Daisy. Well, you'll be happy to know, Grumster, that as we speak, there's not a person in Australia who has a story with regards to a dreadful flight or a fantastic flight. Let me briefly share one with you. In the very early 90s, early 93, 94, I would fly from Mount Gambier down to Melbourne, occasional weekends when the great Keith McGowan...
Yes.
Would go away. Alan Pearson would step and do his program during the week, and I'd come down and do the weekends.
Right.
So I'd work all weekends overnight.
And then go back to Mount Gambier.
Jump on a plane straight out of the 3AW studio, jump on the plane, telemarine, back out to Mount Gambier, land in Mount Gambier, ran about 20 past 8, straight into the studios of 5SE in Mount Gambier and host the morning program.
Right.
On the Monday morning.
Were you like this the whole time during the show?
And the tag, a little bit. Yeah. And the tag to that story is that the great Ross Stevenson, who still hosts the Brickie, co-hosts the Brickie program here on 3AW, he said, Tony Mac, be very careful of those planes. They're deciduous. He won't remember that line, but it stayed with me forever. I thought it was such a great line.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to share this because... this was my second ever flight. It was in January 1971. And you're probably not going to believe this, but I became a missionary in Papua New Guinea. So I had to fly up. I was going to be based in Mount Hagen. So they flew me from Sydney up to Port Moresby, and there was a bit of a story about that because it was January. My mates that had just graduated from school went to the Gold Coast for schoolies, and they insisted, because there was no security at airports then, they insisted on coming at the Brisbane airport, and everyone bought me a schooner, and there were 8 of them. And so I had an hour on the ground. I sculled these 8 schooners.
What?
And I don't remember much about the trip from Brisbane to Port Moresby. But when I got to Port Moresby, I had a bit of a wait so I could sober up. And I was catching a DC-3 from Port Moresby to Mount Hagen. And that is my favourite flight, the DC-3, a magnificent plane. But it wasn't pressurised, so it could only fly a maximum about 7,000 feet or something. And we're flying up there. Mount Hagen, of course, is in the Highlands. And you're flying low through these amazing valleys, and you've got these sheer sides of mountains just there next to you. What an absolutely fantastic adventure. We sat on canvas seats in the DC-3.
Oh.
I can't remember if there was any in-flight service, but I did hear a pig honking at one stage, so I knew that was on board. It might have been the pilot for all I know. I never saw it. But what a fantastic... because the DC-3 was like flying in a built-in wardrobe. You know, it was just so sturdy.
Yeah, really compact.
And you could look underneath and you could see everything, and it was... just a fabulous adventure, which kicked off a lot of other amazing adventures in Mount Hagen, because it's a, what was this was in 1971. What a fantastic place, you know. It was still very, very wild then. But I always remember that flight. It was just fantastic.
I'm more interested in finding about how the thing is a... What sort of role was it?
What was what?
The job.
I was a missionary.
OMG. OMG.
I was...
Missionary grumpy.
You took the pledge.
I did.
I decided I'm not going to take the pledge. I'll become a missionary.
Stay there. We'll talk more about that in a big way next, Australia Overnight. Thank you. We'll come to Andrew. We'll come to Maggie. We'll come to Jan. Thank you for joining us. 133693, wherever you are, right around Australia. Come and have a bit of fun with us. Grumpy's here. The kids are all here. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. Worst flight May this year, Tony Macca, Heathrow to Perth on the Dreamliner, which I would have thought was glorious, and go on to say it was fantastic. However, it's those connecting flights when you land, you want to get to Melbourne, released for 5 hours. When the earlier flight was released, Qantas said, not allowed to change that flight. That can be tricky, but I guess there's reasons around that. Not always apparent, though.
Probably because of delays. See, in Perth, Qantas have their own terminal, and so you just move from the international to the domestic. It's really quite easy. It's a matter of metres, you know, that you move.
It's great.
But I don't understand why they would delay you at Perth Airport for 5 hours, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
Andrew, hello.
I'm here for you, Tony.
Go ahead. Say hello to Grumpy, Andrew.
G'day,
good
Grumpy.
Morning.
Me and you, Grumpy, yeah, that's my surname as well.
Oh, is it really?
No. Well, by nature, maybe.
Yeah.
Grumpy by nature. I took a flight from Melbourne to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
With Cathay.
Yep.
On a jumbo jet.
Yep.
And I was basically the only person, maybe 10 people on the plane.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty empty.
God, that's incredible. That's amazing.
It was lovely.
But you realise how big the jumbo jet was when there's only a few people on it, don't you?
Oh, I was like a king. I spread my legs out, sat across a couple of chairs, and it was beer and peanuts all the way. I felt like a king.
Oh, be great.
Did you? Now, was that when Kai Tak Airport, the old airport, was still working?
I can't remember. I can't remember. I probably had one or two many beers to remember where I landed. But,
it didn't matter.
That's someone else that didn't take the pledge.
That's right. How long ago was that on a big jumbo?
That was I was 35 because I was going to do a Kentucky tour. It was the last year because Kentucky wouldn't take anyone over 36. That's right. You had to be under 36 to go on a Kentucky. And that was 22 years ago,
right?
Yeah, 22. Yeah.
Wouldn't have. But no, you would have landed at the new airport. Yeah, because the old one was ceased operations at about 1997, I think.
Kentucky Tours, great. Thank you, Andrew. Kentucky Tours. They wouldn't be able to place those restrictions these days, would they? You wouldn't be able to say, "Well, you can't come because you're too old."
Yeah, they do.
They can?
Yeah, they can say it there's two groups that are there for under 35s, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're too old, you're too old. Yeah.
Ooh, is that not a bit discriminatory?
Well, yeah, but they do advertise it. That's the age group. So, bad luck if you've missed out.
Jan, do you reckon we could do a Kentucky tour together, Jan, and whip it up?
Oh yeah, we could teach them a few things.
We would, we would. Yeah.
Now, Grumpy's story reminded me when he was talking about New Guinea.
Yep.
I was coming from Vanuatu to Noumea.
Yes.
It was a reasonable sized plane, but the weather was dreadful. It was shocking.
Yeah.
The plane was getting tossed around all over the place. And there was a pilot sitting behind me, an off duty one coming back. And I thought, okay, if he's relaxed, I'll relax. So I sat there watching. Now, if you know Noumea Airport...
No, I haven't been to Noumea, no.
Ah, well, it's like coming into... It's got a very narrow path into it, and there's high mountains on either side. That's why your New Guinea story reminded me. So anyway, we're coming into Noumea, And I looked through the crack in the seat and I watched the pilot. He actually gripped the side, you know, of the seat. He put his newspaper down, or whatever it was he was reading, and he's gripping the sides of the seat. And I thought, ah, he's worried. I'm worried. But we landed safely.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, landing in bad weather. It's just incredible. We had one in Perth once. We were coming in, landed in Perth sideways, and I thought, how are we going to do this? Well, it was a Qantas flight. He was a great pilot. And just before we touched down, he straightened the plane up and straight down the runway. It was just fabulous.
Thank you, Jan. We were just last night on the news, I don't know if you saw it, Grumpy, the launch of the Airbus 350, which they'll do out of Eastern Seaboard.
Going to be Sydney to London, the first one. Yeah.
Be incredible.
Yep. But then again, don't forget, if you have a stopover somewhere, it's going to take you a lot longer to get there. And what they've done is with these, they call them the sunrise flights, you've got extra leg room in economy. And what they do is they prepare you to land for whatever time you're going to land. They prepare you to sort of be in the same time zone. They do that with the lighting and things like that, so that you sleep at a particular at the night time, say in London, and they close all the windows, that they put the shutters down and they put special lighting on. So that's how they do it. So when you actually get there, you'll be a lot more refreshed than if you had just had a couple of stopovers on the way and you're hanging around airports. And that can be really buoyed and frustrating when you just want to get to your final destination.
Have you ever been put up pointy end?
Yes.
A nice thing to do.
So perhaps once or twice.
Do you remember the idea of Continental when they were flying into, so first flight overseas into New York?
Yep.
And a bit nervous about the whole thing, over for my sister's wedding. Walked up, did all the deal, and then ran about 20 minutes before the flight, Anthony McManus, if you could come to the desk.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what's happened?
Here we go.
And they said, look, would you like to go up the... Thank you, God.
Would you like to come
Thank
up the
you,
front?
God.
And you said no.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
And it was in those days we went through Hawaii and then around, but what a flight. And doesn't that change your life?
Oh, yeah. No, I've travelled business and first on a few airlines, and it's a different style of flying, isn't it, really? You lie down and you get these great meals and you know, it's entirely different. You're not worried about your neighbour because these days you're in your own pod. Yes, it's a pretty good way to fly.
When we come back, your calls. For Maggie, we'll come to you in just a moment. Steve Grumpy Collins is here. Have a look at the website. It's simply called stevecollinstraveller.com.au. Maggie May, say hello to Grumpy.
I say good morning to you, Tony and Steve.
Good morning.
Yeah. Now, the best flight ever I could touch on, and if time permits,
please do. So what was the best flight? What was the best flight?
I have mentioned this on there before, but it would have to be in 1977, flying Pan Am 747 to the US of A, first class, and from Sydney to Nandi. We adjourned up to the upper deck and it was fine dining and the time went by in a flash. You wouldn't believe it. I'll never forget it and I don't think I'll ever have that opportunity again.
And was that when they used to have the bar up there for first and business class passengers as well?
Well, in 77 with Pan Am, the upper deck was first class. If you're flying first class, you could remain in your seats or adjourn to the upstairs deck.
Yeah, you got to the deck,
Yeah, and it was set up with a fine dining tables. and it was like fine dining in the air. We were waited on, and you could start off with whatever, and went selection of different courses, yeah. And
sounds divine, man.
Well, that sounds lovely, doesn't it?
What was the,
pampered yourself?
Yeah, but what was the other point briefly you wanted to mention, Maggie?
Well, a couple, but my question is, as someone fairly close to me, flew with Qantas as a flight steward back in the 1960s with Qantas.
Yep.
International. Now, what sort of aircraft do you think that was back then?
What was it? Did you say the 1960s?
That
would have been a flying boat.
A flying boat.
Well, they did. They flew them out of Sydney. Yeah.
Oh, there you
Is
go.
Is that
Maggie?
True?
Hope that helps, Maggie.
No. It was a DC
It was a DC-4.
It was a. I think it may have been an AC-DC.
I'm serious now because I've got he had some interesting stories and tales to tell. Yeah.
But what was the year? I missed that.
It would have been in the 60s, perhaps the late 60s.
Yeah.
Right, after the late 60s, probably 707.
Not
707.
No.
Well, we could do this all morning, but we might have to do a bit of research, and see if we can find
it. It wasn't the 747. No,
it could have been the 737. Oh, no.
That wouldn't have made it to London, no.
It wouldn't have. Maggie, you're a delight. Thank you. You can. Is there anything else you wanted to add? I mean, I would have thought that we'd be inundated. So we got half a dozen, which was nice people, little contributions.
Yes. No. It was great. Flying has become so much easier, and I think we take it for granted these days. It used to be that you were going on an adventure when you hopped on a plane, and now And the thing that gets me: people who wear thongs on planes. I mean, how disgusting is that?
Jeez, I didn't see that one coming.
You're in the other thing is, I mean, if you're wearing thongs or your bare feet.
We don't want to be seeing your toes. We don't want to see that bit.
No, but the thing is, it's actually dangerous because if there's an accident, those seats are slide. They're on racks and they can slash your feet to pieces, which means you're going to have trouble getting out of the plane. It's ridiculous. If you're going to fly, wear shoes. It's more sensible to wear shoes when you're flying, just for safety purposes only.
When you mentioned just before I let you go, when you mentioned those big jumbos, those great big jumbos where you could, like, almost a staircase to get upstairs.
Yeah, there was.
Which I never did, but I was always envious of the idea of that because you're away from the maddening crowd.
Yeah, well, yes, you were. It was quite nice up there, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
I did a few of those.
Just a quickie, Dave. Before we fly, pardon the pun. Hello, Dave.
Yep.
Hello.
Go, Dave.
Yep.
Yep. You're on air.
No, you are. You are.
Is that Tony?
That's the one. And Grumpy's here as well, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, g'day, Grumpy. Sorry, I didn't realise it was there.
Hey, man.
I've got a quick story.
Dave.
Sorry?
No, go on. Sorry, just being silly.
No, you're all right, Tony. I'm a Melbourne boy, but I was living in New Zealand 30 years ago, and I flew back to Melbourne for 23 hours, jumped on a plane to on JAL, Japanese Airlines. We flew over to Tokyo, stayed the night there, flew from Tokyo to across, actually, unfortunately, well, we flew over Russia, and I remember looking out the window and looking down at Russia, and we landed in Amsterdam, and then so I've done all this flying, and then we had to jump on 1 hour of flight, an Aer Lingus, which is the Irish plane.
Yeah.
And anyhow, we're on the runway at Amsterdam, and you know, like a bloke like me, he's got no idea. Like our airports are small, and Amsterdam is massive.
That's huge.
And we had anyhow, we're taking off within this Aer Lingus, and we take off, and then the plane comes to a grinding halt on the runway, and the Irish pilot gets on the air, and he goes, "Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen," he says, "we've got this little red lights come on the dashboard." He says, "we've just got to try to turn it off."
God, I hope that's a true story, Dave. That's fantastic. We've just got to try and turn it off. Good on you. Hey, Grumpy, love your work. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Steve Grumpy Collins. Have a look at stevecollinstraveller.com.au.